You inspire WBEZ. The news, conversations, the voices. And when you donate now, you'll help ignite $85,000 for more local journalism. I'm Susie Ahn.
And I'm Alex Keefe. Like anything at WBEZ, earning this $85,000 is a group effort. We need your help. Give now so we can get to 1,500 donations by Tuesday, June 23rd.
Time is ticking. Just go to wbez.org/donate and thanks.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. Another veteran politician is entering what's expected to be a crowded 2027 race for Chicago mayor. My colleague Mariah Wolfel reports former alderperson George Cardenas represented the city's 12th ward for two decades. He now sits on the Cook County Board responsible for reviewing property tax assessment disputes. He acknowledges that with little citywide name recognition and lots of fundraising to do, his campaign is a bit of a long shot.
It's a big endeavor, for sure. But I think meeting with folks, it gave me the energy. You know, I've always lived here. I want the city to be good. I want the city to be great. I'm vested.
Cardenas says he'll focus on fiscal management and public safety, and he's the second person this month to launch a bid for mayor, joining Illinois Comptroller Susana Mendoza. Illinois Democratic lawmakers have passed a measure to protect trans youth who are in foster care. The bill focuses on children in Illinois who may be placed with relatives or friends out of state. It would require the State Department of Children and Family Services to consider whether a child or caregiver could face criminal charges for services that are legal in Illinois, such as gender-affirming care. If a child will struggle to get care in that state, DCFS can deny the placement. State Representative Kelly Cassidy of Chicago carried the bill.
This opportunity to create the first time when a youth has a voice in their process is huge. Being able to say, yes, I'm willing to take this placement even though there's this risk, but I know that I have some safety valves, or no, I can't do that.
Under the measure, children who are 8 years old or older could object to an out-of-state placement. Next week marks 4 years since Roe v. Wade was overturned. Illinois has since become a top provider of abortions for out-of-state patients. The Guttmacher Institute is a prominent abortion rights organization, and it reports nearly one in four abortions for people who don't live in Illinois were performed last year by providers based in Illinois. Megan Jafo is executive director of the Chicago Abortion Fund and says the decision to overturn Roe expanded that group's role.
What was once a regional abortion fund is now a critical part of the nation's abortion access infrastructure, helping people navigate bans, travel across state lines, and overcome financial barriers to help people get the care they want, need, and deserve.
Since 2022, Illinois has also passed several bills to protect abortion access statewide. And the James Beard Awards brought some of the country's biggest food names to town. At last night's ceremony, immigration was a through line. My colleague Courtney Kipper spoke with chef Norman Fenton. He and his uptown restaurant Carino have had big success, including being a Beard finalist last night. In the background, Fenton's wife and kids have been dealing with what he called a grueling immigration process. They arrived in the U.S. just 6 months ago and joined him on last night's red carpet.
It's really awesome because a lot of moments for the restaurant we haven't been able to share personally as a family, so this moment is very special for us.
Fenton was a finalist in the Regional Best Chef Great Lakes category. That win, though, went to fellow Chicagoan Jake Potashnik. You're listening to The Rundown. The Supreme Court is set to decide whether birthright citizenship will continue. This has been the law in the United States for more than 150 years. It's unclear how the High Court will rule, but the uncertainty has left many immigrant moms fearful about the future of their babies. My colleague Adriana Cardona-McGeegod spoke with two expecting mothers who are waiting to see what the court will decide.
I met up with Jennifer, an asylum seeker from Venezuela, at a Northwest Side community center where her five-year-old son attends pre-K. WBC is only using her first name because she's worried about her pending asylum case. Jennifer is 7 months pregnant. She plans to name her baby daughter Gianna.
Gianna es el significado de la Dios de la Misericordia.
She says it means God Almighty. But that sense of excitement is mixed with a sense of fear that her daughter could be born stateless if the Supreme Court upholds Trump's ban on birthright citizenship. She tries to make light of her fears by joking about how she copes.
Pero sí, sí lo pienso mucho, lo hablo mucho con ChatGPT. tienen calma, me dice. No, pues,
I talk about it a lot with ChatGPT, she says. It keeps me calm. It tells me a decision hasn't been made yet.
Todavía no se ha tomado una decisión.
Jennifer has a flurry of questions about the future that ChatGPT can't really answer. Like, will her baby be able to someday go to college? She also has a lot of practical questions.
Bueno, yo me pregunto como que, ¿qué parte de nacimiento me van a dar en el hospital?
I ask myself, what type of birth certificate will I get in the hospital?
Y cuando vaya al colegio, ¿qué voy a entregar?
What will I show at her school for ID? What will she be, undocumented? Is she a nobody?
O sea, ella que es una indocumentada como tal. O sea, ella va a ser, no es nadie.
As the federal government focuses on ramping up arrests and deportations, Jennifer says she and her partner feel like they have no choice but to eventually leave the U.S. Their plan is to save up and live on their own terms. But her partner works in construction. She worries he could get deported.
Que él salga y que ya no regrese.
And Jennifer is terrified that he'll leave for work one day and never return. She doesn't want to be here alone, in limbo.
No tengo nada, o sea, quedo en el limbo.
But if birthright goes away, she doesn't know how she'll get her baby's citizenship. With no local Venezuelan consulate, obtaining Venezuelan citizenship for her child seems hard. While Jennifer is worried about how she might navigate all these uncertainties the ruling could bring, another expecting mom I met is afraid that if birthright goes away, she might not even be able to survive here. Paola, an asylum seeker from Colombia, is expecting a baby girl. She's living Jennifer's biggest nightmare. Her partner was recently deported.
Y él fue detenido en noviembre.
Paola and her 7-year-old daughter live in a spare room at a friend's apartment in the west suburbs. She's 2 months behind in rent. She burned through her savings, paying bond for her husband when he got arrested for not having a driver's license. He got deported anyway. She's due August, but she has no money, no clothes for her unborn child. And no one will hire her for work. Lately, she says, she's been standing outside nearby supermarkets asking for food. Some people are kind, she says. Others are judgmental. They ask her, where is your husband? And why is a pregnant woman begging? If her unborn child is denied U.S. citizenship, Paola knows she could try the local Colombian consulate to start the Colombian citizenship process. But she can't even afford a train or a bus pass to go downtown. The looming birthright decision is one more thing for her to worry about. She left poverty in Colombia hoping to make a better life here. But she says, right now, I'm in a tougher spot than I was when I left Colombia. Adriana Cardona Magigad, WBEC News.
Weather partly sunny, windy with some showers today, high in the mid-70s. Tonight, partly cloudy, low in the upper 50s. And Wednesday, we're expecting some strong showers and thunderstorms and highs near 70. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thank you for listening.